Hey, welcome to this episode of What's Brewing. I'm Disha, your host, and in this episode, I have Kairavi Mehta with me. She is a private chef, and private chef as a career option is not much talked about in India. So here, Kairavi tries to explain what exactly being a private chef is, and you'll also find her talking about some fun experiences from her journey of being a private chef to Mr. Ranbir Kapoor and now to the Akineni family. So yeah, that's going to be a really fun episode. So grab a cup of coffee or tea, whatever you like, and enjoy. Hi, Kairavi. Welcome to What's Brewing. And in the sixth episode of What's Brewing, I am so glad that I'm talking about my favorite topic, food, with someone who's so good at it.
I'm very glad and very appreciative of the fact that you got me on. Thank you.
So let's just talk about what are you doing right now and how did you get to the job of being a private chef?
Okay. So I started with an internship at this whole private chef's company of sorts. And so I reached out to Chef Harsh, who started this, whose brainchild Private Chefs is. I kind of reached out to him through Instagram saying, I'd like to intern with you. And he got back to me. And post that, I did an internship with him for 3 or 4 months. And then I kind of just loved what we were doing so much that I got onto the team and I started working with him. And I was in Bombay for a few months. We used to work for Mr. Ranbir Kapoor. I mean, I used to assist Harsh in working for him. And then we got the opportunity to come down to Hyderabad to kind of see how the works were here. And luckily things worked out and now I'm here. I'm a private chef for the Akineni family.
So you never actually thought of getting into this job, right? Like you were a student of culinary arts. So what were your thoughts when you were in college? What kind of job did you want to do, and how is this different from that?
So when you're in college, I'm not saying this like it's anything wrong, but when you're in college, you're kind of given the idea that you need to get through placements, and if you don't, you'll have to struggle a bit more than the people who'd ideally get placed. So everyone used to work super hard to get placed, and so did I. I got through 2 placements. I reached the semifinals and the finals, and then I didn't get through. And of course, like any normal person, I was disappointed. I was disappointed really bad because we weren't really told about what else we could do if we weren't given placements per se. And of course, I had a huge support from family, from my faculty, from my friends, saying, you know, this is not the end of the world, and you know, there are a million things you could do out there, but you got to start looking. And I did. And I never thought I would be doing what I'm doing right now, but I'm glad my plans didn't work out then, so this could work out now.
Yeah, you never know what's there for you in life until you actually start looking for it. That's kind of the situation for all the 2020 graduates, including me, because probably because I, you know, my job offer was pulled off by the company. I am right now doing this podcast, meeting so many interesting people, including you. And it's great. So what does your day look like? Do you
How, like, when do you get up? What do you do? And how does a day of a private chef different from, a hotel chef?
So, I'll answer the first half of your question. My day, it starts around 7, 7:30. I wake up. I do whatever chores I have to do, and I'm at work by 8, 8:30, and then I make breakfast. I serve breakfast, and then I make lunch. I serve lunch, and then I have a small break for about 2 or 3 hours, or maybe 4, and then I do dinner. And dinner gets over around 9, 9:30 at max, and that's about it. But what I'd like to tell you more about is kind of, just going into the kitchen and doing your thing is maybe what everyone can do and what everyone knows. What everyone don't know is what goes on behind the scenes. What goes on behind the scenes is you need to be very specific about a certain details. So if someone is on a particular diet and they're kind of, preparing for a certain role mentally and physically, they have strict diets which kind of can't go from even like 5 grams to 10 grams in a lot of ways. So you kind of do your homework, you kind of know what you're going to make on that day because you're given a certain amount of fats, a certain amount of carbs, and a certain amount of proteins, and you're supposed to make it go along, make it really palatable for the person because essentially that's what we do. The fact that people think diet food has to be boring is not relevant anymore. And that's what we're here for. Like, we kind of spice things up a little bit. We bring in, different colors, different variations, different cuisines. We mix cuisines. We do different things to kind of make it more enjoyable and make it more of an experience for the person who's having the meal.
So
And
there's like a lot
yeah.
of homework
Oh, yes, there
before
is.
cooking.
Yeah, there's much more that goes on before entering the kitchen than actually entering the kitchen. Entering the kitchen and doing the thing is the easy part.
That's something we even I didn't know that there's so much into it. We kind of always think that being a celebrity chef is kind of a posh, like a celeb se chef to a celebrity, my bad. It's like
Yeah.
a very posh thing. And but now I know how hard it is and so much goes behind it. So how is it different from a hotel chef?
So to begin with, what private chefs do is we kind of cater to a few clients and we kind of snip snap our day and what we do according to the needs of those people, of our clients. Now, whereas a chef in a hotel, he has to cater to a larger audience, so he can't pay attention to minute details of, every guest that comes, right? They also prepare food in bulk, and we kind of niche it down to the person, to their likes, to their dislikes, to the amount of salt that they like in their food. So we kind of have very intricate ideas about how a person likes their meal and how spicy they like it, how much salt they like in it, and their preferences of cuisine. Whereas when you go to a hotel, of course you place orders, but that's from a fixed menu. You can't tell a chef, make this for me, make that for me. I really feel like having this. And that's something that we do. We cater to individual needs. Yeah, when you come to hotels, you're in a very closed environment per se. Like, you have to do what you're told to do. Whereas a private chef has more space. They as an individual come out and they can create things. They can be more creative because they're given that freedom. So yeah, I think as far as that goes.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, it gives a lot of opportunity for you to grow as a chef as well. You get the space to be creative, and
Right.
that's interesting. Yeah. So how does your day changes when there are, more celebrities over? Or like you said, you worked in Mumbai and then you shifted to Hyderabad. So how has your work been different with different people or some fun experience or something like that you would want to share with us?
So when there are guests over, it kind of changes because not everyone and people generally come over during the weekends, and weekends are for cheat meals, right? And not everyone wants to eat healthy all 7 days of the week. I mean, everyone's human. So when people are over, there's generally they don't prefer having junk food per se, but it's not also extra healthy. So it's somewhere in between. We kind of chalk out a menu. We sit, we chalk out a menu about, who's coming, what are their preferences, what does everyone feel like eating, and we kind of make a menu. And depends though, like from personal experience, I once did an event with about 22 to 24 guests, and I'm kind of the only chef here per se. Of course, I have help, but to do what I do, it's just me. And sometimes that can get very difficult and stressing. But I think if you plan things out well, it's not that difficult.
Yeah, I mean, starting from knowing what their favorites are to knowing their allergies, you have to take care of
Right.
everything. And yeah, like, you decide the menu, you decide the food, you serve it. You are like a mini hotel in yourself. So that's amazing. Yeah. So, I mean, like we all know that the concept of private chefs are not very, okay in India. We kind of don't talk about it or we don't know about it, actually. So, how did your parents react when you decided to, get into this job?
Let me start from the beginning. I think ever since I decided that I wanted to get into culinary arts, my parents were super supportive. They were always my strength, and they still are. And even when I didn't get through those placements like we spoke about, they were there. They were that pillar of support who said, "It's okay, it's not the end of the world." And when I told them I have this opportunity, I've approached a chef who does something very different from what is known right now. Of course, they weren't doubtful, but they just wanted me to be sure of what I was doing. And like this was something that would kind of help me later. So they encouraged me, and right now they're super happy, and I am super happy, and I love what I do.
Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah, we need
Yeah.
that support. So, did you know that you wanted to like you said, you knew that you wanted to get into culinary arts. So, are there any times when you got in the kitchen and did something when you were a kid?
So I did. I used to be super into baking when I was before joining culinary arts, and I used to bake cupcakes, and I used to bake cakes for people's birthdays, and I ha also have a very I don't know, should I call it scarring, should I call it teachable experience. So I was taking a class to learn how to build a cake, which is from baking to layering it to decorating it. And while we had an assignment in that class where we had to bake a cake, we had to kind of layer it. We had to, sort of build the cake and just get it to the class to do the final upper decoration on it. And so we had gone out. It was the weekend. My cake was cooling. I came back without removing my shoes. I was wearing sandals per se, so they were kind of open in the front. And I entered the kitchen just out of excitement to see what my cake was doing. And I kind of started layering it. I started cutting it to make those layers. And I put the knife on the side of a plate. And the knife was a serrated heavy knife. So the knife kind of just fell on the floor. So I thought, okay, it fell on the floor. Okay, whatever. And I started doing my thing. I took the layer off, put it on another plate, and I bent down to pick the knife up, and I see there's a pool of blood down.
Damn.
And I don't know what has happened because I can't figure out. So I yelled for my mom, who was literally just entering home. And at first she thought, like, I'm just playing around. And she said, "What?" And I yelled, "Ma," again. And then she came in. She realized, it was something serious. She came in and she saw blood, and she just froze for 2 seconds, like she didn't know what to do. And just luckily, right behind me, we have this shelf on which there's turmeric. So she pulled that out. She made me, pull my leg up 90 degrees so it's horizontal and there's no blood flow. And we figured the blood was from my left leg, like the knife had kind of cut through.
My God.
And and there is a huge scar on my leg. So post that, we rushed to the hospital. I had a cosmetology surgery because I had about 10 stitches on the
Oh my God.
outside. And because of the sharpness of the knife, my tendons were cut, which had to be kind of sewed by a plastic surgeon because only they can do stuff like that. So at 3 a.m., I had an emergency surgery, and I
What?
think that is the most unforgettable experience for me because I can never ever be careless around a knife. Ever again. I couldn't from that time. I can't now, and I cannot ever. Like, even if a button I falls on the floor, it kind of brings back memories.
My God. Yeah,
Yeah.
definitely sounds so scary.
It
But
honestly though, I shed zero tears. I was laughing throughout. Like, I couldn't believe it, and the pain was something that I didn't feel at that time. And then of course I had a cast on for about a month, month and a half. Yeah.
Oh my God, I don't even know what to
Yeah.
say. But it's amazing how you still after that, picked up your knives, forks, and everything else, and you got back working. Eventually you didn't get so scared that you stopped following.
I think that was the defining moment for me when I knew that, this is what I wanted to do. Like, I wasn't afraid.
Great. That's lovely.
Yeah.
I'm sad that that happened, but again,
No, I don't think I'm sad that happened. I think I knew since that time that I shouldn't take the kitchen lightly or a knife or anything that happens in a kitchen lightly. Because honestly, it's a place full of dangers.
it is definitely. I am so scared.
Yeah.
Like I feel so scared to even cut, like a potato or anything. I have to ask someone to stand beside me so that I can do it because I'm so scared of sharp things. So I can
Yeah.
understand what you must be feeling.
Yeah.
So, that was interesting. But as we move on, I would like to, talk more about the interesting career options in this field. Like, I know a lot of my friends who got into hotel management, culinary arts in the same college as you. I mean, I studied in School of Communication, so I have a lot of friends from Vaksha who are doing
Right.
that. But I never had anyone, talking about the non-conventional career options in this or following something as different as what you are doing. So, what are the different career options in culinary arts and hotel management?
So To be honest, it's not just a chef that you become once you study culinary arts. There are loads of things that you could do. Right now, the concept of a concept developer is something that's raging. So it's not that you need any background in it, but if you have a culinary arts background, you probably can relate to the experiential part of it and the food part of it better, right? So you could become a concept developer for a restaurant, for a specialty restaurant. You could become a food blogger, which is again a really, hot profession right now. You could become an entrepreneur, which is working out for a lot of people in a time like this right now. People are doing loads of stuff from home. You could consult for restaurants. You could, kind of figure out a restaurant's layout. You could figure their menu out for them. You could figure, how things should be done. What is the workflow? What is the cycle for them? There are lots of things that you could do. You could also probably study further, but that comes next. But yeah, it's not only a chef that, oh, food photography, which is again, a booming thing right now. Yeah.
Yeah, these all sound really interesting and something that, very non-conventional and matches a lot of hobbies or interests of people together and then gives a,
Right.
career out like food photography. I know a lot of friends of mine like who are into photography and who love food and know a bit about it. And yeah, they understand how to do it. So yeah, that sounds great. And like you said in the beginning that you approached Chef Hirsch for your internship. So what's the scene of mentors in your profession? Because it's very, very important for someone, in any profession to have a mentor to guide them how to do things and what it's there, professionally in the profession and everything related to that. But in India, we kind of do not give that much importance to mentorship. So how was the experience for you?
So ever since college, ever since our first day at Waksha, we were all given mentors to whom we could like openly communicate for anything. And over time, through the course of the 3 years, we eventually found out our personal mentors. Mentorship is currently very new, but it's kind of building up in our profession. Like when we had our 4 month internship from college, I interned at the Ritz-Carlton in Bahrain. And I kind of went through seven or eight departments, ranging from the garde manger to the bakery, to the patisserie department, to the specialty restaurants. And I kind of interned in the bakery and patisserie in my last month. So it was 15 days in the bakery, 15 days in the patisserie side of it. And in that last 1 month, I found another mentor for myself. He kind of put the thought into my mind that, I should really, really think about what I want to do post college seriously, because it's extremely important for me to focus on that particular field. And also, I don't think a person needs to have one mentor. A person can have multiple mentors because everyone has something to give, and you have something to take back from everyone. From everyone's experiences, and everyone has something to give to you, and honestly, you can learn from everyone, right? So, if you get comfortable with four or five people who you can address as your mentors, why not? Right?
Yeah, I
So, that's
completely
about it, yeah.
agree. Yeah. So before we get to the end of the episode, I want to ask a fun question. So What do you like eating more posh food or do you like eating bhatka khana?
Okay, now I'm going to be extremely candid and extremely honest about the fact that if you give me any food, I will eat it and I will appreciate it because I know the kind of hard work that goes into making food. Number one. Number two, my whole day goes in making food and in tasting food. So I really appreciate food that people make for me. I really don't judge any kind of food that's in front of me. I would eat just for the fact that someone has made it for me.
It's not your, like, you made it for yourself,
Exactly, because I taste my own food all day.
yeah. I so hope that you get to eat your get to eat someone else's cooked food soon so that you feel a little bit pampered sooner.
That's nice of you. Thank you. I'm currently missing my home Gujarati mom food, which has been really long since I've eaten, like proper home cooked food.
Yeah, I hope you get to dinner. Like I came back home after 3 years, and like I was coming back to Italy for a month or two, but now I'm eating so much. I miss it so much. I'm an Odia, so the Odia cuisine is very, it's really good. Like every cuisine is good, but I love my home food, home like motherland food so much that I'm just eating and eating till like bear who eats up and then sleeps in the winter. So I'm just literally doing that so that the next time I go out, I don't pay for it for some
Oh, yeah, you should really do that. But I don't
It's
think it'll ever be enough.
yeah, true. That's what I'm learning. Like now I'm asking my mom, I'm like, how do you make dalma? How do you make khichdi? How do you make this? How do you make that? Just so that I know that like it can't be as good as my mom's, but I can have little flavor of that even when I'm away from home. So
Right.
yeah.
Yeah, that's always nice. It's always nice to write and note recipes that belong to your family down. Documentation of family recipes in India is extremely important because India has none. And of course, people are starting to be more aware of it now. But documenting home recipes and, just noting those few minute details down takes you a long way.
Yeah, I'm gonna keep that in mind and make sure that my mom tells me all those secret recipes that she has, and I pass it on to the, future generation whenever the time comes. You Kairavi, and I hope anyone who's listening to this, who's into food photography, who's anything related to food, gets to learn something out of it. And you can always drop a text to Kairavi at her Instagram handle, which is
It's Cookie Cooks, KUKICOOKS.
yes. So you can always drop a text to her for anything you want, and you can follow her for all the amazing vegan recipes. I hope I can do another episode with you in my next season about vegan food, which I don't know anything about, but I'm super excited to know. So yeah, thank you.
Thank you, and I look forward to your next season of your podcast. Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Valerie.